For now.
All right, well, welcome everyone to the LTD Board of Directors regular meeting. It's Wednesday, October 19th, and I call this meeting to order at 4:30 p.m. So let's start with roll call. Susan Cox.
Here.
Thanks, Susan. Don Norden.
Here.
Thank you, Don. Michelle Weber.
Here.
Thank you, Michelle. Pete Knox.
Here.
Thank you, Gino Grimaldi.
Here.
All right, we are all present. So nice to see you all today. The room looks a little different today. Has the board decided who gets best dressed or what's happening? Okay. We appreciate a full room today. Thank you all for being here, LTD staff and other folks that we'll hear from today. So really quick, just comments. I want to call attention to a great event that LTD staff actually hosted last week. So on Thursday, we were able to do a special commemorative event for Congressman Peter DeFazio, who's retiring after 36 years. And if there's someone in this room that had their hand in making that a great event, please stand up. Tiffany. Pat Walsh. How's that? Okay, so we just wanted to say thank you for taking the time to host such a great event. We had lots of speakers come, including the Springfield mayor, Bonnie, who's the president from the Springfield Chamber. We had Carmen Fore, also Senator Lee Beyer, and Pat Riggs Henson. And so everyone had an opportunity to talk about the impact of Congressman DeFazio's work. And at that time, we also unveiled a special plaque at the Springfield station and face cookies. So they were these great vintage, it was a vintage photo of Peter on cookies, and those were a total hit and made, was it the front page of the Register Guard even, I think, in KZI. So great idea, whoever's, Kelly, okay, let's tell Kelly that was awesome. And I might've snuck one and kept it at home. So thank you so much for that wonderful event. We just really appreciate LTD bringing together the community, and also just let's celebrate together how far transit has come in our community and really celebrate the advocates and all the folks that make the difference. And of course, I'm looking at all of you because that includes all of you. And then the last thing that I want to mention is that we also had the opportunity to go to the American Public Transportation Association annual conference in Seattle, APTA for short. And so we had numerous directors that had the opportunity to attend from LTD staff and also board of directors. I want to thank Michelle and Pete who also attended. And do you have anything quick you want to say about your experience?
It was really fun. I got to meet a lot of really awesome people and spend some time with directors here, and that was really a great experience.
I think Michelle said everything I need to say.
You know, as we, as being on the board of directors and living locally, sometimes we don't understand LTD's reputation or the impact that LTD has on a nationwide scale. And so going to something like APTA and having people come up to you and go, wow, LTD is doing this really cool, innovative thing, or teach me about this, or tell me about this, or I'm so excited for your new CEO. And you know, you guys have been real trailblazers in this certain area. That's really cool to see. And it's really just energizing, right? For folks that volunteer their time, staff members that, you know, live and breathe this place, to just have that reminder of the impactful work that this organization is doing. We got to be on a national stage. So I had the pleasure of giving an presentation to a very large audience of, I don't know, 2,000.
Over 3,000 were there.
Talking about storytelling and modernization of storytelling in transit, and talking a lot about the strategic business plan, our performance scorecard, things coming up with our performance management dashboard, and talking about what brings community value. So I just specifically want to say, as we talk about the things that when we go above and beyond with Oregon 22, evacuation from the Cedar Creek fire, all these things that make LTD special, that's what we're sharing. And that's really impactful because 80% of the folks in that crowd are small to mid-sized transit agencies. So yeah, we were on the stage with New York and Washington, DC and Denver and Charlotte, but who's resonating with the crowd? It's LTD. And so I had a lot of folks come up and connect afterwards, and just really applaud everyone here for everything that's being done in this community and at this agency. So appreciate the opportunity to represent such a fantastic organization. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Mark.
Yeah, with the app of things, and things, you know, we get so wrapped up in our day-to-day things that we're doing here that, you know, we forget that everybody looks at us and says, wow, how do you get that stuff done? You're such a small agency, right? So good job to everybody. And, you know, you just kind of keep pushing ahead. So a little update. We were supposed to have a new board member start this month, but that didn't happen. The governor's office got the wires crossed a little bit, submitted it to the Senate as starting on January 1st. So we will have three new board members starting on January 1st rather than one that was supposed to have started this month. So we will have a... quite a new complement of directors, and we'll be working with them to get everybody up to speed. Just a little heads up on moving ahead. We're kind of taking a step back on moving ahead and really looking at our public engagement process. We're putting together a scope of work to be able to understand, you know, what we did, working with the city to try to figure out a path forward. And so we'll be bringing a scope of work to the board probably in the next month, if not next month in December, to talk about a path forward. So that's what I have to say.
Any questions for Mark from the board? Camille, do you mind clicking on attendees just so we can see who's joining us virtually? Oh, okay. Perfect. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Because our seats are full. Everyone's here. This is great. Okay. So let's go ahead and move on to our next agenda item, which is announcement and additions to the agenda. Per our work session, we do not have additions to the agenda, but I'd like to check with the board at this time if there's any announcements. No. Great. Okay. Moving right along. So next we're going to go into employee of the month. And so is Jake here, or who is sharing? Oh, okay. Come on.
Oh,
okay, great. So go ahead and head to the front.
Good plan.
So my name is Rebecca Meliora, and I'm a field supervisor in the operations department. And Brian Dorsey, the October employee of the month here, is under my purview. And I've known Brian as an operator for 8 years. So he's been here 8 years and 3 months now. So he's driven through the pandemic. You know, he's performed excellently. And one of the things I like most about Brian is his amazing sense of humor and how he connects with his fellow employees. So you can always see him in the break room with a huge smile on his face. But really, he's all about family. He's all about community. He's all about his community of bus operators, and more importantly, the community that he serves. So he's out there every day when nobody's watching, you know, taking the time to help passengers get where they need to go above and beyond. So he'll walk people. In this case, he walked someone to find their bus. Even though that wasn't something that they asked for, he took the time to do that. And I know that he's out there doing similar things every day. I really enjoy working with Brian. He's a wonderful operator. Thank you.
So Brian, if you'd like to say a few words, now's the time.
I applied to LTD 8 years ago with the intent of impacting the community. And LTD has allowed me to do that. So I'm very appreciative that I could reach out to the people that need help and provide it whichever way I can. So thank you for allowing me to do that. And I hope I can continue.
Thank you.
A little gift of appreciation for you. And we are so grateful that you were part of the team. So something for you to wear. Something for you to spend. Something for you to commemorate how grateful we are that you're part of the team. Yeah, thank you for everything. Big round of applause for Tyler.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. So we are going to move on to audience participation, and I don't believe anyone signed up. They didn't. Okay, good. We're good. Is there anyone wishing to speak virtually, Camille?
I do not have anyone indicating they would like to speak. Okay. Thank you.
So I probably don't need to read the script for the public hearing then? Okay. Making sure I'm following the rules. Okay. Christina, welcome back. Thank you so much for being here. We had the pleasure of hearing from Christina at our budget committee meeting, and we're so grateful for what you prepared for us. And we're so excited to have you be here today. So I'm gonna turn it over to you.
Thank you, and good evening, everybody. Tonight, I will be recommending that the board hold a public hearing on our preliminary fiscal year 2023 through 2032 Community Investment Plan, also known as the CIP. Before the public hearing, I will be doing a short presentation on the CIP highlights. Next slide, please. So I'm just going to start with the CIP timeline. So the CIP was posted for public comment on the end of September, and it'll be open for public comment until it's actually adopted. It's posted at ltd.org/financials, and what we have posted there is the full CIP document. We also have the CIP presentation that was presented to the budget committee meeting, as well as a video that covers all the projects that are included in this preliminary CIP. We haven't received any comments to date from the public, but on October 5th, we had the budget committee meeting, and at that budget committee meeting, the budget committee reviewed and approved the budget as presented. And if anybody would like to see that, the questions that were asked, this discussions that ensued, that's available on Metro TV for the public and anybody else who wants to watch it. And tonight's request is to have a public hearing on the draft CIP. The majority of the projects that will be in the final CIP are already in the draft CIP. But between now and April, we will be updating the CIP and we'll be aligning it with the fiscal year 24 budget. And then we will be adding any new projects that are needed, adjusting timing of existing projects, as well as any funding changes that are occurred. So then that new final CIP, what we'll be doing is we'll bridge that CIP to the existing CIP. So you can see what the changes are from what you are seeing today to what we actually have as the final. We'll then hold a second budget committee meeting to go over that final CIP. And then we'll have a second public hearing, and that will occur sometime in April. And then we will be coming to the board to request your approval and adoption in around the May timeframe of both the final CIP and the fiscal year 24 budget.
Next slide, please.
So the CIP development follows the board adopted CIP policy. And the goal of that policy is to maintain a healthy financial condition while providing a consistent level of service for our community. And in order to do that, it requires that we strategically plan to both maintain our existing assets in a state of good repair, as well as anticipate the future needs of our capital needs that we have in our community. So our CIP policy has three foundational elements, and those foundational elements drive the project's timing and prioritization. And those three foundational elements are at the very bottom of this document. They are the strategic business plan, which define our outcomes, our mission, and our values, our five guiding principles, and our funding goal, which requires that we have greater than or equal to 70% of our capital projects funded by grants. The green boxes are the three steps that we go through to get to adoption.
Next slide, please.
So the community development, CIP development is a collaborative activity, and it involves input from our board, our riders, and our community partners. This input allows us to anticipate and plan for future needs, trends, and changes, as well as to stretch our dollars for our community by making sure that we align our projects with the city, state, and county goals.
Next slide, please.
The October 5th Budget Committee meeting extensively covered all of the CIP projects that are in our plan. And today I'm only going to focus on the projects that are likely to impact the fiscal year 24 budget. And I'll start with the facility improvement projects. And both the facility improvement projects and the state of good repair projects are for the design, purchase, installation, construction, and improvement of our service, maintenance, and administrative facilities. So the fiscal year 24 projects are the Eugene Station modernization, which is the modernization of our 25-year-old Eugene Station, which is in the heart of downtown Eugene. Thank you. And this modernization will benefit our riders, attract new riders. It will also enhance the quality of life around our station. We also have the fleet, crane, and fall protection project, and that allows for safe working conditions on our new zero emission buses. There's the OCC training lounge project. OCC stands for Operations Command Control Center. And this modernization will modernize our operations dispatch, the training, and our wellness center. And that will improve, our operations and improve employee development. Our passenger boarding and system facility improvement project is an ongoing project that we have every year, and it updates and improves our rider experience, make sure that we have good accessible pathways, updated shelters, and furniture signage. Next slide, please. There are two facility state of good repair projects in fiscal year 24. Those two projects are the petroleum fuel system project, which replaces our end-of-life fuel dispensing system to ensure that we have ongoing operations and environmental protection. We also have the ongoing transit facility state of good repair project, which is regular maintenance of our buildings for the safety of our employees, our customers, and our community. Next slide, please. Moving on to the fleet state of good repair projects, we need to have, in order to provide the reliable service that for our community, it requires that we consistently invest in our rolling stock. And that's because our fixed route vehicles have a useful life of 12 years, and our accessible service and on-demand vehicles have a shorter useful life of 5 to 8 years. So the fleet state of good repair projects that impact fiscal year 24 are our major bus component project, which is our engines and major parts, our 10-year fixed route fleet replacement project, which includes 19 40-foot electric vehicles, which will bring our fleet to 30% electric. We also have our 10-year specialized service fleet replacement project, which is replacement of our accessible service vehicles, and our 10-year non-revenue fleet replacement project, which is our public safety and facility, and then other vehicles that help transport our people from one facility to another. Next slide, please. Our frequent transit network, or FTN projects, provide frequency of less than or equal to 15 minutes on weekdays with high quality amenities. And it serves the corridors with the highest density where the greatest need for transit exists. And together with our fixed route service, it creates an interconnected network of routes that provide both frequent and broad service for our community. So those projects are the Franklin Reyes Project Grant Match, which is LTD's contribution to a $25 million joint project with the City of Eugene and the Cities of Springfield along the Franklin Opportunity Corridor. There's also the Planning Studies Project, which is basically, it advises our strategic direction for our district. And it includes things like Maine McVeigh, our strategic business plan, and moving ahead. We also have safety and security projects, which improve the accessibility for our low-income riders and riders with disabilities, as well as increasing our public health and creating a safe environment for all riders and the community. Those projects are our FTN Safety and Amenity Improvement Project, which reduces near misses collisions along our MX corridors, as well as improving safety, accessibility, comfort for our passengers. There's also the System Security Improvement Projects, and those projects increase safety for passengers and employees. Next slide, please. Our tech and infrastructure improvement projects provide tools for our employees and passengers to make our service reliable and easy to use. One of those improvement projects is the Stiff Mobility Wallet Trip Planner Project, which is a single web interface for planning for trips along multiple routes, including our including transit, rideshare, and bike share. And then our tech and infrastructure state of grid repair projects, which replace our aging systems, many of which have been end of life by our partners. And one of my favorite is our enterprise resource planning project, which replaces our 21-year-old finance system and will create operational efficiencies for my team.
Can't imagine why that's your favorite.
21 years.
That next slide, Chief.
So as a reminder, our full CIP presentation was done at the budget committee meeting, and it's available to the community both through Metro TV and also on ltd.org. And so at this time, I'd like to take questions and ask the board if you'd like to have the full presentation provided to you, or if you'd like to proceed to a public hearing to obtain more input from the public on our community investment plan for fiscal year 23 through fiscal year 2032.
Are there preferences if she goes through the full presentation again, or would you like to move into the public hearing?
Public hearing.
Hearing? Yeah.
Presentation.
Public hearing. Okay. All right. Great. Thank
you.
So I'm going to go ahead and read the script for the public hearing, then I'll go ahead and open that up. So this evening, we're going to hold a public hearing on the community investment plan. The sign-up sheets were provided for anyone wishing to address the LTD board during the public hearing. Testimony is limited to the topic of the hearing. Participants are provided 3 minutes to give verbal comment to the LTD board. Speakers are called in order of which they sign up. If you're in the room, and that's who I would call on first, when you come up to the mic, you will state your name and city of residence. The timer and lights indicate the time you have to speak, and a beep will indicate that you have 30 seconds. The red light and the second beep indicates the end of the 3 minutes. If you are virtual and wishing to speak, please raise your hand and we will address that after the folks in the room. We are not addressing or responding to comments in general during this meeting. If a response is requested, this response will be provided at a future meeting by email or personal conversation with a report back to the board members. So I'd like to officially open the public hearing. There's nobody signed up. Is there anyone online that is wishing to speak? Okay. I will close this public hearing. Okay, so now is the opportunity if there's additional board comments or questions about the CIP for Christina. Okay, all right, great. Thank you so much, Christina. We appreciate you doing that.
Thank you.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on to our next agenda item, which is board member reports. This is your opportunity to share on what committees you participated in over the last month and outcomes and impacts that the board needs to know. So is there anyone wishing to provide a report of committee work at this time? Pete, please.
Thank you, Caitlin. Attended the CATC, or Comprehensive and Accessible Transportation Committee. For those of you on the board probably have heard that that we're talking about taking the Strategic Planning Committee and the CATC and merging them together. And that was a big topic of conversation at yesterday's CATC meeting. And it was met with a fair amount of good feedback. And so what is going to happen is eventually we're going to be coming that there will be some new bylaws that will incorporate the two that will be coming to the board at some point. The other meeting I attended yesterday was Caitlin was there, I believe, for the State Transportation Improvement Fund, or STIF, Advisory Committee, which is composed of people from LTD and LCOG, and I think those are two. But as we're being in the process of getting working through the STIF proposals, and that will be coming to you guys the rest of the board in January probably.
Yep. Okay, anyone else wish to share?
Can I ask Pete a question?
Of course.
Pete, what's the rationale behind combining the two committees? What's the driving force?
That's an excellent question, and there's a
There's a lot of overlap between the two committees, and what ends up happening is that one voice talking about the same thing the other voice is talking about, and what we're looking at is actually taking the two committees, the people who are part of the community that are in the strategic planning committee and the CATC, which is people with disabilities, and bring them together and actually bring a wider range of voices all in the same room to talk about the same things.
Great, thank you.
I'd just say one of the things that they talked about yesterday was improving efficiencies, and that there's actually a bunch of blank spaces right now, is that right? So it's not like it's gonna be a huge super committee, and it's not really merging, it's an establishing a new committee. So it was overwhelmingly supported yesterday.
Great.
All right, anyone else before we move on? Don?
Yeah, not particularly a report on the actions of Elaine, Area Commission on Transportation, but more of a segue from what Mark had said earlier about moving ahead. Is I noticed that the Lane Act meeting, Claire Syrett was missing, of course, and replaced by Lucy Venice in this thing. And it was so much tied to what the community group got together to oppose moving ahead. So I thought, that was something that perhaps we should have been a little bit more ahead of in terms of communicating to the public and just what it was, not giving them fodder for some of these people. I know I recognize from the West 11th thing, and they're not necessarily, well, I shouldn't say, I mean, their motives are different than ours. And that's the comment basically, is that we lost a very good community servant in Claire Syrett. And part of it was because we weren't able to explain moving ahead well enough to the community members so that they were vulnerable to that kind of action.
Thank you, Don. Any other board member reports on committees?
The contract committee met last week and approved two contracts for the board to look at tonight under the consent calendar.
Great. Well, great segue. Let's go ahead and move to the consent calendar. And any questions or discussion on the contracts for the pension trustee appointment? And if not, we can get word of the motion.
I move adoption of LTD resolution number 2022-10-19-056. It is hereby resolved that the consent calendar for October 19th, 2022 is approved as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any final discussion? All right, roll call vote. Gino, can you start us off?
Yes.
Thank you. Pete?
Aye.
Thank you, Michelle?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
And Susan? So vote aye, that passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to our first staff presentation of the evening. We're going to hear from Pat Walsh, Director of Marketing and Communications. And today we are going to be talking about American Best Bunch. Bus. Oh my gosh. That's why we always say ABBG, huh?
That's right.
You don't have that happen to you.
That's right.
American Bus.
The American
Benchmarking Group.
That's right.
Throughout annual customer satisfaction survey. Can we edit that out of the live video?
No.
Cool. All right.
Thank you. Thank you for that, yeah. That Caitlin. Tonight, you're going to hear about three things. One is the ABBG survey that Caitlin just referenced. And then Eddie Zamborski from DHM Research is here tonight to talk about the results from our community value survey that we launched earlier this year and as part of our strategic business plan. And then there'll be an update about the return to ridership campaign from our marketing manager, Teresa Brandt, and Dana Terrell, who's president of the Terrell Group and has been our partner on that project. I'm going to give you a little information about ABBG first before we kind of get into the information. But the ABBG Fixed Route Customer Satisfaction Annual Survey is conducted by Transport Strategy Center at Imperial College in London. Little would you know, but Mark Johnson is one of the founding members of the ABBG group that was established in 2010 with LTD. In 2010, there are 19 member agencies, and of those 19, LTD is the smallest agency to participate in this very prestigious group of transportation agencies. 15 of those agencies participated in this past year's customer satisfaction survey. Now, the survey I'm going to talk with you about tonight, and then also the survey that Eddie's going to talk about, are going to be used to inform our strategic business plan and be used as baselines to measure our progress with engaging the community and delivering service to our passengers. And will play a key, I think this information will play key roles in what Mark talked about earlier in terms of how we're going to take a step back and evaluate some of our community engagement work. The first slide that's up there is the survey is 25 questions long. It was administered in March and April of this year. The results were presented to us last month. I can only show you the results of Eugene. The rest of the agency's results are proprietary. On this first slide, you can see those first 25 questions. I don't expect anybody to be able to read them, but just so you can see them and they're in your packet, the questions are broken into categories to measure availability of service, ease of service, information, customer care, comfort, security, overall satisfaction, and then how did we do during COVID? Next slide, please. Now they put together the survey, but it's our responsibility to push that survey out into the community. We led ABBG with almost 2,300 responses that were received. We pushed the survey out via email, our website, news releases, our social media channels that include LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. And we did outreach to our community partners, such as the NAACP, the Latino community, the Asian community, and others. And we drafted emails, newsletter stories, and other things for people to use. Now, the one line that's below there is that I wanted to call out because it's an area in which we need to really improve on. We only had 7 responses of people who spoke and read Spanish. And we also have to expand our work into addressing the language barrier that other communities have here locally. But we had 7 out of that 2,300, and we need to do better. Next slide, please. So what did we learn from over this survey? Well, overall satisfaction per question is colorful, I might add. But really the top 3 were where we scored the highest are where when people entering and leaving the bus is a very positive experience. 89% of our respondents felt that was a positive experience. And that's really what branding is all about. It's about the experience people have with our system. Our driver appearance was ranked highly at 86. Driver helpfulness was at 82%. And I'm not gonna read through all these. But where we need to do work is how we provide service information to the public and how we provide alternative information to the public when our service changes or there are detours. And we're working on that now. But those are the highs and those are the lows. Next slide, please. So what happened is that they took this information and they went ahead and they ranked those questions so that we could come up with a score between 1 to 5, 5 being the highest score you could get, 1 being the lowest. And as you can see, we graded out at a 3.86, which is a little bit higher than we did last year. Whoa.
Just try that.
Excellent. Thank you. So we graded out at a 3.86, which is a little bit higher than we did last year. So it begins to show an upward trend. So then the next slide, Camille, will show how each of our questions looked year after year over year with satisfaction level. As you can see, we're in the blue. Can you raise that up? That'd be great. Nah, there you go. There you go. So you can see the blue lines are this year, and you can see that we're beginning to make progress in almost every area, except those last 2 areas that I mentioned earlier. So we're really in a positive flow with our customer satisfaction, but we have more work to do. There's no question about that. But it looks better than it did a year ago for sure. And what we'll eventually get, I believe, we will get to and above where we were pre-pandemic. So anyway, then this next slide is again a colorful slide, and it's the same information, but it's just sort of displayed a different way. And I wish I would have taken this one out, but anyway, it's there. So so you can see and kind of go point to point. So if you want to, you can pull that out if you'd like. Go to the next one. So what we did next is I'm going to take you through. There are various slides on demographics, and I think that's where there's always a lot of interest by folks. So this, so as we break things down by demographics, next slide, please. There we go. All right, so we started with age, and or they started with age groups. And you can see that everybody has the first two items, which is, I believe, availability and time are the most important. And then the interesting thing to me is that as you get older, safety becomes more important, and that flips with access to information. And there's some other things too, but I think in those top three, that's interesting. This is pretty consistent through most of the other demographics that I'm going to just take you through here in a minute. So let's go to the next slide. Okay. And this slide represents how often people ride. So people who ride very often and sometimes, you know, they all rank about the same in terms of where we are with availability of service and the time of the journey and the service. So anyway, next slide, please. And then this gets down to why do people ride the bus? And I think this is really interesting to me. But no surprises maybe, but certainly work is the number one reason, followed by, or not number one, but important, leisure and social, education is big, and also medical. The number of people that are riding our bus to get to medical appointments really surprised me in terms of the number of people who responded to the survey. Let's go to the next one, please. And then this looked at gender, which again, you know, not surprisingly, females are more concerned about safety than males are in terms of how that's ranked. And you know, again, there's some work that I really want to get into with ABBG because I want to find out if there are any responses that they can share with me that tells us why we're at 3.4 on this scale to the left with preferred not to say. Folks, because I'm curious as to what that's all about. Next slide. And then this gets into race and ethnicity. You know, again, we have the same two top two, and then safety seems to be number three or information. Certainly with the Asian community, safety is big. People is bigger than the need for information. And that's something I know, Susan, you've talked about in the past to make sure we're aware of, and we certainly are. But anyway, next slide, please. So how do we rank this? Oh, this is income. And not surprisingly, people on the higher income are not as likely to ride the bus as people who are in the middle or in lower income. Folks, they also rank us higher. The people that use the service rank us higher, which gives us an opportunity to do some more community education. So this information is also valuable. Next slide, please. And then this is how we ranked against our peers. I couldn't go toe-to-toe on that with everybody, but this is where we ranked. So in terms of how we resolve problems, in terms of comparatively to the peers, we rank second. Or fourth, rather. And then second, with our buses in terms of what our customers feel about punctuality. So as you can see, we rank pretty well on most things. And then we also have some areas where we need to work, and those have been called out in other slides. So interior comfort, that's one that I have to admit is a bit puzzling to me. I don't know what you do to make buses more comfortable, but that's one I was surprised to see at 15. Next slide, please. So they also took a look and polled our folks about how we did during COVID. I've got one slide on that, and I want to show that to you now. So the next slide, please. And this was how often people rode. So overall, you know, in terms of how we managed COVID, we were on the positive side of that axis, right? We were, you see the EU there. And then those other dots are the other districts. But in terms of being informed on COVID, we were a little bit behind the curve. And the same thing with how people felt in terms of being safe to travel via COVID. And I think a lot of people probably weren't comfortable traveling anywhere publicly via COVID. So because of COVID. So how we address that, I'm not exactly sure, but I think I know that our team works hard to clean our buses and to make sure that they're safe, and our operators do a wonderful job. And I expect that number will change here in the coming year. Next slide, please. Okay, then once you factor in all those three COVID questions, like I said, when we ranked everybody from 1 through 5, we were at a 3.86. That just took us down a little bit to a 3.81. So that's still ahead of where we were last year with those 2 out of 3 COVID questions that we were on the negative side of things as opposed to the positive. So I just wanted to show that it did impact that other ranking. Next slide. Okay, this is the slide I really like. I really like a lot. It's not only colorful, but what it shows us is that people are really interested in riding the bus. Pre-COVID, people that wanted to ride the bus very often or often came in at about 60% of our riders. That's how they felt they arrived. Well, post-COVID, we're not there yet, but in our current situation, it's 64%. So that tells me that we've done a reasonable job communicating with people. We've delivered good service. And that as people are coming back, they're thinking they're going to use the bus more, even though it's a small percentage, it's something to build on. So that's what I think is the really good news. The other good news is that our net promoter score for ABBG was excellent. We went from a -6 in 2021 to a positive 21. We had a 27% swing in 1 year based on the work that everybody in this room did, and people that are in other places around the campus here did to deliver service to our community. That's a really good beginning point to be able to build on our net promoter score, not only here, but also in terms of our strategic business plan and some other projects that we're working on. So overall, I think this is a good survey. It's going to help us inform what it is we need to do in terms of the strategic business plan, and it's going to help inform the evaluations which we're going to do with our community engagement. It's not the only thing, but it's going to be part of that mix. It's going to help keep us informed and keep us on the right direction. So with that, if you've got any questions, I'm here, or I'm also glad to come back for a work session or whatever you'd like to do. But if you've got questions tonight, I'm game. So,
well, thank you for the presentation. I think for there's anyone new in this room, when we started the strategic business plan process, that was an incredibly heavy lift. We're talking about 400 hours of that the employees put into this. And so, and what was the number one strategic area focus? Customer satisfaction. And that's our heaviest weighted out of the 5 strategic areas is customer satisfaction. So seeing that jump and seeing that progression is phenomenal, because that's really taking those metrics that we identified and moving through the tactics and really like embracing the fact that as an agency, as a community, we're saying, this is what we're going to focus on. We're going to work together to improve this. And the proof is in the pudding, right? So
right.
This is so cool to see this.
Yeah, we've got a good start on things.
Okay, who has questions for Pat?
Oh, come on. Okay, that's all right. Okay. All right, well, Gino.
The information may not be there, but does any of this tell us where we've lost riders, what type of rider has gone away and is not coming back?
Yeah, I don't think that's not part of this, but I wish it was, because it'd be really help us reel them back in, you know, and I think there's probably other tools we can use to do that.
Yeah, so the COA should inform that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Don. All right. Caitlin.
Is this information available on the website?
Yes.
So that anybody in the whole region can acquire all this information easily?
It was posted, and then it was taken off because I had, to be real frank, I had given Camille the wrong presentation to post. So there was all the proprietary stuff. So we'll get the Eugene information up tomorrow.
Are you referring to this presentation, you're referring to the actual dashboard or our ABVG dashboard?
Mostly all of the, anybody wants to know anything.
Okay. Yeah, no, we typically post all of our surveys and everything on online if they're not proprietary. So, yeah. Okay. Michelle?
No, I was turning on for Don.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I do want to introduce Eddie Zamborski from DHM Research. We engaged his firm back in the late spring to do the community value survey, which was called for in our strategic business plan. It's also the first community value survey that the agency has done, at least completed within memory. And they were great to collaborate with. And I'm going to turn it over to Eddie to take you through the high points of this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Pat, for the introduction. As Pat said, my name is Eddie Szymborski. I'm a research manager at DHM Research. I've been there for about 7 years now. New to the Eugene area, moved here about a year and a half ago, so it feels great to be presenting to a local agency. This is actually my first in-person presentation since COVID, so it feels like the right one to be here and share a little bit with you folks about what folks are saying in the community about you. So the goals of this research, next slide for that, determining familiarity of and awareness with LTD in the community, assessing broader community perceptions of the agency, including with a real focus on community values. So the ABBD work is more in the weeds about the rider experience, things like that, bus comfort. This is more high level, how does Lane Transit District positively impact the community as a whole? With some ridership stuff as well. Looking at key demographic differences and how they shape opinions, we'll be getting into a little bit less of that today, just in 15 minutes, but there's a full, much longer report that really dives into that, highlighting some differences throughout. And then as Pat mentioned earlier, setting a benchmark for future research. We pulled bits and pieces from some earlier work that we've done for, that DHM has done for LTD and other agencies in the area. But this is really the first to have that explicit community value focus and give us a really good baseline to track things moving forward. And I think it is a great time to do it also, as COVID is not obviously past us, but things are at least settled down a little bit compared to a couple of years ago. Okay, so how we did this methodology. Next slide, please. So the latest and greatest is doing a hybrid approach for survey research. So the traditional model would be sort of telephone survey, call people randomly, hope that the right people pick up the phone, make adjustments as needed. That has really, really over the past two decades, but particularly the last decade, become much less feasible to reach a truly representative swath of the community. There are certain types of folks who are less likely to pick up the phone. Age is a big determinant. And the way that age and race, ethnicity are sort of mapped onto each other in America and in the region, that means that BIPOC communities are often well underrepresented by a traditional telephone survey approach. So the approach nowadays that we recommend for most of our surveys is combining live telephone interviewers, so someone calling you, talking you through the survey, and then sending out texts to people to encourage them to take the survey as well. So that's the path we took here, sample size of N of 500, which gives us a really good broad look at the community as a whole, and allows us to look with some pretty good precision at those demographic differences that I mentioned as well. We also had a community engagement track that Pat and his team distributed as well. We're not focusing on those results here today, but rather on that more full representative survey that we did. Back in late August, we use quotas and weighting. That means we sort of set targets and then make small adjustments based on who we reach to ensure that the sample is representative of the community as a whole. So we set those markers by age, gender, race, ethnicity, educational attainment, and then geography by cities within the LTD region to make sure that we are giving a good cross-section of the community as a whole. Margin of error for each question is around 4.4 percentage points. I just say, hey, look with a little bit of a squint at these numbers. They could be 2 or 3 points off. It's really about the numbers in relation to each other and how they change over time, rather than, you know, 33 versus 32. And then just the way math works, there might be a couple of rounding things that, that seem kind of silly in adding things up. Okay, next slide, times two. So first, this is just a question we ask to get at familiarity with the organization as a whole. We just say, hey, without giving you any information, who offers bus service in your community? Asking it that way in an open-ended question, we get about three and four residents correctly naming LTD as their bus provider. You'll see a couple sort of examples of the correct answers that we're bucketing in there. So a little bit of fuzziness there, but about three and four aware of you folks and the work that you're doing. Some people also just sort of say Eugene or MX, things like that, but three and four is a good place to be at. Over to the next slide. This is overall approval of residents as a whole. Just under half approve of the job that you folks are doing, and then the remainder are split. So you have about 28% disapproving of the job, but really that 23% not knowing or not feeling like they know enough to say whether they approve or disapprove of the job that you folks are doing. That's the number I would really emphasize here, that there are some folks who just are sort of disengaged or not knowing enough to really weigh in on the job you're doing. This isn't a slide, but just sort of a behind the scenes of the kind of information that's in the full report. Eugene residents, Springfield residents, women, college graduates, and particularly folks who ride more positive on this marker. So for instance, 72% of riders approve of the job you're doing. Okay, on to the next slide. This is another open-ended question. We ask the folks who say we approve, why is that so? Coding open ends is always sort of an imprecise science. Basically, we're trying to theme together answers. How I would portray the sort of positive results are you're doing a good job. You're providing good service about the core things that people expect from a transportation agency. So it's convenient, it's useful. There's good service on all sorts of parameters, hours, schedule, availability, and then providing needed transport. So for certain cases, good routes and coverage. Those are sort of the top answers among those who approve of the job you're doing. If we go to the next slide, we'll see the folks on the other side. Top concern, finances broadly, perceptions of waste, taxpayer expense, and then sort of connected to that as well, I would say perceptions of low ridership, people seeing empty buses. And then sort of beyond that, we could go down, not listening to concerns, bad service, things like that. What I do want to caution in looking at these two slides in particular, the bucket of people in that first one, that approve slide, is about twice as much as the bucket of people in that second slide. So it's easy to just sort of see this 27 and compare it to the 25 on the page before and be like, wow, as many people think we're doing a good job as think we're wasting funds, but really it's a much smaller number overall of people. Okay, for next slide, here is something that we actually modeled after ABBG. They have this net promoter score, common survey tactic. They do it a little bit differently than DHM does, but to sort of crosswalk it and make sure you have good comparison data through the years, we followed their approach. So residents as a whole, the way they categorize it, they have sort of, if you, on a 10 point scale, if you give us a 9 or a 10, you're a promoter, 7 to 8, you're sort of neutral about the agency, and then detractors, they categorize as 0 to 6. On this sort of scale, residents as a whole give an average score of 4.9. So what they would categorize as a detractor, I would maybe not quite categorize into that. I would say that's a more neutral rating. But again, every sort of firm has their own approach to something like that. Where we see the biggest difference, though, is if we go to that next slide, you'll see that there are huge discrepancies comparing people who never ride. That's on the left, non-riders, mean score of 3.6 net promoter score. And then riders on the right, 7.3. Again, a main theme that I would communicate throughout all of this. The folks who ride on LTD and know you think you're doing great. Other folks either don't know enough or maybe are sort of against public transportation or, you know, maybe had a bad experience, whatever it may be. But there is this big discrepancy between riders and non-riders on this question and really throughout the survey as well. Some other groups that are more positive give slightly higher net promoter scores, Eugene and Springfield residents, sort of folks who are youngest cohort and older cohort, college graduates, and again, women. These are sort of common trends that we saw throughout the survey. Looking at ridership as a whole on the next slide, about 1 in 10 say that they ride LTD at least once a week. So that's combining that 5% sort of very often, and the sometimes 3%, the next one down there. And about 1 in 3 say they have ever ridden LTD. And then down at the bottom, you have that 69% of residents saying that they have never ridden the bus, never ridden LTD service in the area. Some demographics behind the scenes here. Older folks, folks with higher incomes, and residents living without disabilities, more likely to have never ridden the bus. Okay, now we just have two quick questions. If we go to the next slide about that we asked specifically of riders. So first, how satisfied are you with your experience on the bus? 76% of people who ever ride you are satisfied, including 38% who are very satisfied. These are great numbers. Again, that core group of folks who are engaging with you, riding with you, have a really positive perception of the agency. And if we go to the next slide, we'll look at the top priorities for folks who are riding the bus and what their most important areas of service are when it comes to public transportation. Clear two top priorities. One, goes where I need to go. So things like bus stops, routes, and then two, availability. So frequency of buses and hours of operation. We have a sort of tier right below that with security, on-time departure, travel time, things of that nature, and it continues down. One demographic difference I'll mention behind the scenes here, BIPOC residents listed security much at a much higher rate than other residents in this survey, about twice as likely to include it in their top three. I'll introduce a little bit of caution there just because we're dealing with a small sample size here, because this is just riders. It's only about 150 people. But even with that small sample size, it's a big enough difference that I would consider it to be meaningful and worth considering. Okay. Forward two slides will take us to sort of the core of this work and community value. So we've talked about sort of satisfaction, ridership, but really we want to get a sense of what folks in the community think you are doing for the community as a whole. And on that, really positive. So 79% agree that Lane Transit District provides value to the communities it serves, including 51% who strongly agree with that statement. Really positive numbers here. And again, we have this discrepancy with riders, even more positive than those who do not currently or recently ride on your buses. On the next slide, we'll look at a couple demographic differences we're seeing here. Eugene residents and to a lesser degree, Springfield residents, a little bit more positive. Again, that younger cohort under 35 and older cohort of 55 plus, a bit more positive about LTD on this parameter. Folks with higher educational attainment and women, again, more positive. These, in particular, I'm displaying these because these are very consistent differences that we're seeing throughout the surveys. On all of these different markers, these groups tend to be a bit more positive than others. On the next slide, we get a bit more into the specific things that people prioritize when it comes to community value. The three that really rise to the top here. So we basically give people a whole series, ask, hey, how important are each of these ways of providing value to the community? At the top, we have ensuring that people living with a disability and older community members are able to get around. 73% of residents say that's very important for LTD to do. Next down, 63% say it's very important to provide travel options for lower income community members. And then finally, 65% say it's very important to provide a reliable and safe way to get around. I would consider that to sort of be the core of what folks are looking for from you. On the next slide, sort of the next tier down that I would say, frequent service on key routes, 59% saying that's very important. And then providing K-12 students with free bus passes, 56% saying it's very important. Down at the bottom, reducing the amount of traffic and congestion and reducing greenhouse gas emissions, a little bit lower overall, but still important to the community. If we look at those sort of combined importance numbers, the lowest figure we've seen up here is 68%. So even sort of among the scale, descending scale of priorities, all of these things are important to the community. On the next side, we'll see how you folks are doing at each of these things. So in addition to asking how important are these things, we say, hey, how satisfied or dissatisfied are you with how LTD is doing at this point? Really the main point I wanna call attention to here are those gray bars on the far right, the don't know responses. Pretty high numbers here. How I interpret this data is the biggest barrier to perceptions of satisfaction, again, is a lack of awareness and engagement about the good work that you folks are doing. So if we, you know, just compare the ratio of green to red that we're seeing up there for each of these things, much more positive than negative by at least a factor of 2 to 1, in some cases a factor of 3 to 1. But it's really those higher don't know responses that are there holding back that overall satisfaction number. All right, and then the last thing I will just close with, surveys like this, we just like to ask folks, hey, what should we do? What should we be focusing on? What should be LTD's priorities to improve on? The two things that sort of rise up a bit more, safety and security, being on time and reliable, and maybe I'll toss in the next one there too, offering more routes and stops. So that is the overview I have now. If you go forward a couple slides, my email is up there. I welcome follow-up questions from folks. I'm happy to take some questions now if we have time for it, but frankly, I lost the thread of time. So unsure You're where fine. We stand there. And then as Pat has mentioned, also happy to come back for a follow-up work session and present the full report and talk about it in further detail if that's desirable.
You might have to with 3 new board members coming on soon.
Yeah, happy to do so.
What questions do you guys have for Eddie?
I'd just like to say this is fascinating information, Pat. You must love this.
Yeah.
In addition to, you know, the other outreach stuff that you're talking about, I think this is really valuable. So I appreciate that. I do have a couple of questions.
Please.
So, how did you select the dates for doing the survey? August to September 21. Does that eliminate students or were they part of it?
So a couple things. One, we sort of worked with Pat and his team. There was a lot of stuff going on in summer this weekend. Or in summer this year. And we were sort of working around those things. And then in terms of reaching students, younger folks, I imagine you're talking about, you know, college students and all of that. We made a really concerted effort to reach the sort of lowest age cohort, which I would categorize as 18 to 29 year olds. That is a historically incredibly challenging demographic to reach in general. But particularly in a community like Eugene, where they make up sort of compared to other places, a disproportionate percentage of the population as a whole. Off the top of my head, I think it's around 20% of the Eugene population falls in that age cohort. Without taking intentional extreme measures, we were coming in at around 2 to 3% of the total sample of those folks. So what we did is we basically oversampled and really just purchased as many records as we could of young folks living in the community to try to really up their participation. And we got up to sort of just a couple percentage points below that sort of representative target we were aiming for through that effort. So, you know, there are challenges sort of in any time of year of picking sort of the right point where there are fewer disruptions. What I would say is really the most important is having consistency sort of year to year or wave to wave of the times of year that you're doing.
So do you anticipate doing this every 12 months, every 6 months?
Sure. So ultimately a decision for you all to make. Right. I've talked a little bit with Pat about it, right. But yeah.
We talked about waiting 18 months because what we'd like to do is take this information, get it into action, and then be able to measure whether we've made in And so the idea is to come back before 2 years for sure, but maybe not as soon as next year right now. So that's what we are. We think this is a good benchmark and then people get to build from it. So,
yeah.
Other questions?
That's not in all of this, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is posted to the website.
Oh, okay.
It's not okay. Okay. Any other questions? Well, Eddie, thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. We appreciate the presentation and appreciate you sharing your email too. If we have additional follow-up questions. So because we are, we love hearing about marketing and communications, we're going to bring up Teresa Brand, who's going to do our Writership Digital Communication Campaign update. And special guest, Dana Terrell, welcome to the building.
I always come with props, it's just how we roll.
Okay. Good evening. I'm Teresa Brand. I'm the Transportation Outreach and Marketing Manager here. And with me tonight is Dana Terrell, the president and owner of the Terrell Marketing Firm. Next slide, please. Looking back, it was the peak of COVID. Our community was feeling the effects of a nationwide pandemic shutdown, and transit ridership had drastically declined, with LTD seeing only riders who needed to make essential trips. Out of concern over what was happening in our community, and in an effort to show the community leadership, our former general manager, Aurora Jackson, she challenged us to act and help be part of some positive solution to the overwhelming challenge that we were facing in our community. With that in mind, we worked with the Terrell Group, one of our marketing bench contractors, to develop a campaign around that had a safety message called Follow the Four. And then it evolved into a We Ride message over the course of the last year or two, and more recently to an I Ride message through our communications that highlight individual stories on their personal journeys on transit. To see some examples of this work and its evolution over the last few years, I'd like to introduce Dana Terrell, the president of the Terrell Marketing Group, who through her work and the work of her team, along with our marketing team, made all this happen. She's here to show you some examples of this important work. Dana.
So it's great to be here. Thank you. I am Dana Terrell from Terrell Group, and our creative team really had the honor of working with Pat Walsh and Teresa and the marketing team here. And we were just kind of thinking about why that was so meaningful. And part of it, I think, is because we came through this time together, you know, it was hard, and we were trying to do something positive, and I think that we did. And I have come to respect all the work that you do and the staff does and the team here so much more than I ever did before. And I had good opinions before, but it's just been a great education process for our team. It's been great to work with the marketing team here, who are smart and knowledgeable and really dedicated to serving the community, and have showed that time and time again. And they have challenged us, not even intentionally, but just by the way that they think of how to be inclusive and accessible, and challenged us to explore different possibilities to be more and more that way. And honestly, challenge us to ride the bus, which is what we're doing now. And we're internally having challenges within the team to just take the bus to go somewhere, whether it be an adventure up to the McKenzie River or to the store or to a medical appointment, where many of us weren't doing that before. So we're actually experiencing for ourselves what it is that you guys are supporting and what you do every day. So thank you for that. So I did bring a video that our team put together that kind of gives you an overview of what the creative content work has been over the last little bit of time. Cue the video.
There we go.
Yeah, I've got to get the broadcasting right up too. Sorry about that.
We'll just keep it on.
As in life, there's the point in time when it's important to consider your past and where you're going. Today, we're going to look back and look forward.
It was a time filled with fear and uncertainty. Here in Lane County and around the world, COVID cases were rising, schools were closed, people were staying home. What could we do? At Lane Transit District, we were committed to doing what we do best, connecting our community. LTD and 23 community partners launched a bold campaign in our time of crisis. One that would offer guidance and a little levity during one of our lowest moments as a community. Our shared message, don't invite COVID, follow the four.
Remember to social distance, 3 feet apart on the bus, 6 feet everywhere else.
Wear a mask that covers your nose and mouth.
Wash your hands frequently.
Avoid large crowds.
Don't invite COVID.
Follow the four.
In 2021, when vaccines were released, our heroes appeared and our message changed to welcome Vax. Follow the four. With our ridership reduced to essential trips, we knew we still had an important job to do. As a transit district, we doubled down on our dedication to getting people where they needed to go, safely, sustainably, and equitably. As we prepared to welcome back riders, it was time to tell a different story, our story. With so many of us working behind the scenes, it was time to shine a spotlight and be seen, to build confidence, to boost morale, and to reach our riders in a meaningful way. So, we launched a new campaign, We Ride Together.
The road of life isn't always clear. Obstacles arise, and the journey can sometimes be rough.
But we must keep moving. Because we all have a job to do, places to go, and families to care for. We can help you get there. Because even when our destinations differ, we ride together.
For me, the beauty of being a frontline worker at LTD is the fact that we get to help so many people every day.
There's just so many things that happen behind the scenes to get service out, and a tremendous amount of innovation is applied to the work that we do every day.
Meeting the demand of ridership in the community takes a lot of people and skills, and LTD excels in that.
In everything that we do, we are thinking about the people that use the system, and we want it to be a good experience.
No matter what you do in life, you have to be dedicated to something, and being dedicated to serve the community you live in, you can't beat it.
As more people got vaccinated and life began to return to normal, we wanted to remind them of all the reasons to ride with us. To get to school, to work, to appointments, and just for fun. The I Ride campaign features real riders, each with their own story and reasons for riding.
I look at the bus as accessibility for all.
It's just on a schedule and it's easy to plan for, and when you get there, you don't have to park.
I ride because it gives me independence and empowerment.
Looking in the rearview mirror, you can see that we've connected our community at every twist and turn. Looking ahead, as we continue our return to ridership, we'll tell important stories, build awareness, and increase ridership. In all that we do, LTD is committed to creating a more connected, sustainable, and equitable community through respect, integrity, equity, safety, and collaboration. Because our mission matters. We ride together.
Good video. That's awesome. Some of you in this room were in those videos, so thank you very much for your participation in those. We established those community partners that were mentioned in that video early on during the COVID campaign, and they helped distribute some of the messaging. In order to be a partner within that campaign, they committed to getting the new messages out every month through their channels of social or email. Some of those partners were media partners.
and the local three local TV stations plus two local radio stations for a total of seven stations, sorry, two radio groups for a total of seven stations, agreed to double the media buy during that time, during the COVID campaign. And I'm proud to say that they have continued. So those media partners continue to match dollar for dollar all of the We Ride and the I Ride commercials that we're putting out into the community. So that's really helped us really exponentially get the word out in a big way through our local broadcast. And it's been a nice way to support community together. We are also placing these stories out on the internet, both in connected TV, which is those streaming TV services that you have when you're at home and streaming through the internet to watch TV, also on social media and what are called programmatic display ads. So those display ads that you see all over the internet when you're surfing the web. In total, because of the wide reach of both local and digital, we are reaching the entire county. Now, I can't tell you every single person has seen the ad, but cumulatively, by the numbers, by seeing how many people are reached by each channel and in the different channels that are reaching different people, we have reached everybody in the county multiple times a month for a cumulative total of millions of impressions every month. So that your message is really getting out there in a big way, creating awareness and building trust in both what you were doing at the time when the height of COVID and what you've been doing coming out of it. And although it feels like we have been working on this for a long time, we just really hit the ground with being able to fully implement the We Ride and I Ride stories that you saw there, so that we're not barraging people with that same commercial every single time. There are several stories within both of the tracks, We Ride being the staff and department stories about how you're working together to serve the community, and the I Ride stories of the authentic riders. Multiple versions of those stories running all the time in rotation. So conceivably, if somebody's seeing an ad by LTD, a story by LTD, multiple times in a month, they're seeing different stories each time. So it's, I think, doing its job of getting out there in the community in a big way.
Thanks, Dana. All of these efforts help support our community during challenging times and sought to remind people that we're here when they need us and to come back and ride with us when they're ready and that we're all in this together. That's kind of the themes throughout this whole process. In addition, this work supports, as you've seen in the video, our mission, vision, and values and our goal of showing community value. We will continue to use video and radio, social media, and other digital platforms, along with printed materials, to communicate broadly across the region and to a variety of audiences in a consistent and strategic manner. In fact, we've made some branded items just to remind with our Ride LTD logo, just so things look alike and people really kind of helps amplify the message. And we also did some of the items in Spanish. These are little picture frames you can put on your refrigerator, and these are reflective flat bands that can be seen in your state when you're out walking your dog. But again, it's to amplify the message that we've been working on this last year to provide LTD.
This is Teresa Brand giving the board a slap on the wrist.
That's good. Thank you.
Your words, not mine. And I'll leave it while we're at it.
So next slide, please. Any questions or comments?
Am I just missing it, or is KLCC not included in that?
They are not. They were not, as a public broadcast system, they don't have the ability to really match in the same kinds of ways. It's a different kind of message. It's not an ad, it's more of the sponsored by type message. So they weren't able to participate in the same way.
But all of these were, but most of these were also paid, right? There was a combination of paid and then they—
Correct.
So there was definitely one. Okay.
Other questions? You know, we talked about this at ACTA, actually, this campaign, and you know, Pat's talked a lot about it to me. And what was great, the response that we got was, this is authentic, right? These are real riders. These are real places you can go on the bus.
And what COVID did was give us a chance to really reinvent our story, right? And change the narrative. And as we are moving towards that authentic storytelling piece, it's been really impactful. And I know, I mean, obviously my kiddo's up there. He really takes the bus to soccer. And guess what? Like during COVID, when kids didn't have anything and athletics was so important to him, guess what saved him? Soccer, getting there on the bus. I mean, this is a real impact. And these are real lives being affected. So I think you guys just did a fantastic job really being able to capture that. And it creates community conversations. And so I would say, you know, whether folks saw him or me, or, you know, they want to learn about, well, tell me about your experience. And so it's creating that value through conversations, through the authentic writer. So it's, you've just done a fabulous job. And
we appreciate really that. Appreciate one thing that I don't know if you've noticed, but we also, for the We Ride stories, we have taped all of our departments. You've seen just snippets of it here, but the ads that run on TV show different departments, operations, to IT, to facilities, to everybody, and what their role has been so we can all ride together on the bus. And so you'll start to see some of those now that the political ads might wane. But anyway, we really were impacted by the powerful stories of our employees, why they work here, how they support the mission, vision, and values, and what their piece does to support the bigger mission. It's very powerful. And so we have the collection of those that we're running on social media and we're running on these larger ads. And so it also internally by doing this has really been a morale booster during a really hard time. It's been very awesome.
That's great. And that fits right in with our second strategic area of focus, employee engagement. So thank you. All comes together. Any other questions for Teresa and Dana?
Thank you for being here.
We appreciate that. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to our next agenda item, written reports. Do board members have questions based on anything they read in the board packet or any of the written reports? Mm-hmm. Don.
Well, I guess it was back in before we had the reports and stuff on the contracts, I just noticed there was one the move it. There was $500,000 thing there, and I didn't understand what that was, and there wasn't a write up on it. So there was professional services for engage. Can you explain that or anybody?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So the Move It project is phase one of the mobile, the integrated trip planner and the mobile wallet project. So that's the integrated trip planner portion of it. And it was just over $500,000. And you should have gotten the presentation about it at one of the contract committee meetings. So happy to answer any questions about that.
Yeah, it was just in this particular presentation, there wasn't anything, so
okay.
I missed it.
Great.
Okay, anything else? All right, so really quick, our final agenda item. Items for action information at a future meeting. This was requested by board members to see if there's anything that we need to put in consideration for future agenda items. Is there anything the board wishes to talk about? Okay. Not seeing any. As a friendly reminder, the board and everyone in this room, our December board meeting, we had to do a date change because of the holidays. So instead of December 21st, it's actually December 14th. And also it's going to be really fun because it's Dawn and I's last meeting. So we're going to have a party. So please come. So with that, it's almost 6:00. We usually end at 6:30, but I know those ties are probably getting real tight because I can see you guys doing this. So I guess we'll let you go 30 minutes early and officially adjourn this meeting. All right. Have a good evening, everybody.